Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm Nabil Biagio sitting in for John Tanza on this live broadcast from Studio 14. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan and Sudan this Tuesday, May 9th, 2023. Egypt's top diplomat, Sameh Shoukry, discusses Sudan's conflict with South Sudan's President Salva Kiir.
The relationship with Sudan, both Egypt and South Sudan, necessitates that we consolidate our efforts and exchange views on the way forward.
And the International Organization for Migration says hundreds of thousands of people have been forcibly displaced by the fighting in Sudan.
Decisions that people are making to move are influenced by so many different factors, events on the battlefield and the extent to which conflict is encroaching upon their communities are one. But of course, it's very difficult right now to find money.
We will have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Egypt's foreign minister met with President Salva Kiir in Juba today to discuss how Cairo and Juba can help convince the two warring generals in neighboring Sudan to peacefully resolve their conflict. Egypt has taken in more than 70,000 refugees who fled Sudan since the violence began on April 15th. Dimo Silva Aurelio reports for VOA from Juba.
Egyptian Foreign Affairs Minister Sameh Shoukry paid a visit to Juba today to deliver President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi's letter to President Kiir, praising his efforts to mediate a ceasefire in Sudan. Shoukry says the Sudanese violence has had far-reaching effects on South Sudan, Egypt and other neighboring countries, and there is a need for a coordinated approach in dealing with the humanitarian crisis brought on by the fighting.
The effects that have been wide-reaching to both the neighbors, immediate and most active neighbors in the relationship with Sudan, both Egypt and South Sudan, necessitates that we consolidate our efforts and exchange views on the way forward to contain this situation and to relieve the difficulties that are being met by the Sudanese people and to continue to impress upon the combatants the importance of a sustained ceasefire and the return to a political dialogue that can serve the best interests of Sudan at this critical juncture.
Shoukry says the high number of refugees fleeing the violence is worrisome, adding that Egypt has already registered more than 70,000 refugees since the start of the conflict.
And we will continue to coordinate and to cooperate and to contribute to relieving this very critical situation and to deal with the humanitarian consequences that both Egypt and South Sudan have had to bear related to the influx of a very large number of the Sudanese fleeing the conflict areas. So far, Egypt has received on its southern border more than 70,000 Sudanese, and South Sudan has also provided shelter to many Sudanese.
Several Sudanese experts have said Egypt has sided with the Sudan army, which is battling for control of the country with the rapid support forces. Shoukry denies Egypt has played any role in the Sudan conflict. He insists the presence of Egyptian troops in parts of Sudan is legal.
The presence of Egypt in Marawi is similar to the presence of Egypt in various African brotherly countries on a very clear legal basis of the cooperation in one of the important sectors, which is defense and military capacity building. That is the context, and that is what has been declared. And any contention or speculation otherwise is malicious and unfounded and unnecessary and can only fuel feelings of resentment.
South Sudan Acting Foreign Affairs Minister Deng Dao says Egypt and South Sudan share similar views on the conflict.
This is a very concern that any disintegration, any continuation of war in Sudan will put pressure on our countries because we are very close neighbors to Sudan. And this is why all the efforts that are being done internationally, they have to be coordinated, they have to be merged so that the beneficiaries in the end are the Sudanese people.
Both Juba and Cairo are calling on Sudan's warring parties to observe a declared ceasefire and embrace dialogue as the only viable way to bring about stability in Sudan. A sporadic fighting was reported on Monday in the Sudanese capital, Khartoum. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
Still in Juba, residents of the South Sudanese capital say fighting in Sudan has caused a shortage in goods and price hikes of food imported from Sudan. One resident says the price of onions from Sudan has more than doubled from 2 weeks ago. For VOA News, Manyang David Mayar reports from Juba.
Traders and customers haggle over prices of fruits and vegetables at Juba's Konyokonyo market today. Many here say they are shocked by the dwindling supplies from neighboring Sudan and the soaring prices of food that is available since the fighting broke out on April 15th. Juba resident Sarah Ali says she could not afford to buy her favorite Sudanese onion this morning because the price has become more than doubled from 2 weeks ago.
I asked and found that it was very expensive and I left it. For sure, the road is not good and that is why these things have become so expensive and not even available in the market. These onions come from Sudan to here and it is good with soup. The one that comes from Uganda is not good.
Mohammed Ahmed, a Sudanese retailer in Juba's Konyokonyo market, says the nearly 1 month of fighting in Sudan has cut off supplies of essential food commodities from Sudan, which he says has greatly impacted Juba consumers.
We are now facing some challenges with food commodities from Sudan because of the fighting currently happening there. Now prices have increased, especially with food commodities like tahania, murabba, and onions. Now a bucket of onion is 21,000 SSP.
That same bucket of onions cost 10,000 South Sudanese pounds 3 weeks ago. Sudanese trader and retailer Ahmed Musa, who sells fresh vegetables in Konyokonyo market, says he secured some food items from a wholesale store this week, but is not sure if he will get more next time.
The onions of Khartoum is cut off by the road. There is no onion. Some traders brought it and stored it here. Now they are selling a sack at the rate of 110,000 SSP. Before, it used to be 50,000 or 45,000 SSP. I don't know if they still have or not.
Sarah Ali says, as the conflict rages on in Sudan, South Sudanese will have to learn to live without some commodities. A week ago, South Sudan Information Minister Michael Makuei said the conflict has come at a time when his country's economy was already struggling. Last week, humanitarian agencies in South Sudan appealed for $96 million to respond to the humanitarian crisis arising from the conflict in Sudan. The United Nations Humanitarian Agency says there are an estimated 9.4 million people, or 76% of South Sudan's population, projected to be in need of humanitarian or protection assistance this year. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayor in Juba.
Authorities in South Sudan's northern Bahr Ghazal state have formed a task force to reintegrate thousands of returnees and settle refugees who are fleeing the fighting in Sudan, which broke out between two military factions in mid-April. A state official says a committee will set up refugee camps and mobilize funds to support the refugees and returnees. Deng Gai Deng has this report for VOA from Bor.
Northern Bahr Ghazal Information Minister William Anyuan says Governor Tong Akien has formed a 12-member committee to help settle South Sudanese fleeing the conflict in Sudan.
Yeah, one of the main objectives, you know, this committee is to coordinate the activities of the humanitarian agencies and government whether national or state government, to facilitate the refugees or returnees that are coming from Sudan. And the committee also will be the sole responsible for any movement of the or relocation of the refugees from where they are at the entry point to a place that will be identified for them.
Anyuan says the panel will establish the refugee camps and raise funds for supporting the thousands of refugees and returnees. He told South Sudan in Focus more than 30,000 people, including 11 refugees, have arrived in the state since the fighting began.
We have been waiting all this time for a national government, especially Commission of Refugees Affairs, CRA, to come and assess, and then they declare, you know, it is the sole body that declare the refugees, declare someone to be a refugee or not a refugee. So they have just arrived today. And we are now meeting shortly so that they will also move to where these refugees are. And then the UN agencies or humanitarian partners and the state government will take the role, including the national government.
Manasseh Lomele, chairperson of the South Sudan Relief and Rehabilitation Commission, says his office is working with local officials at the border to identify the refugees before setting up a camp for them. He says South Sudan has no intention of creating more internally displaced people's camps.
The policy of the government is really to make sure that people are returned and settle down in their areas of origin, which will make things a bit easy. Setting up another IDP camp may not be exciting because it will cause us more problems. We have experience of a lot about the IDPs that come from our own communities and they settle down in some areas and we end up with difficulty.
Lomele says the government will transport people from the border to Equatoria and Upper Nile depending on their place of origin. Charlotte Holvist, Public Information Officer at the United Nations in South Sudan, says the UN High Commissioner for Refugees office in the country has registered over 45,000 arrivals from Sudan, including refugees and people from other nationalities who are seeking asylum. Holvist says the UNHCR is working with the government to settle the refugees.
We're working now together with the government to facilitate transport from those areas where they have arrived to our existing refugee camps, in particular now in Maban. So transporting those who have arrived via Rank and are in Rank and also in Paluch to our existing camps in Maban.
Holvis says the UNHCR has no plans to establish a new refugee camp, but will help facilitate relocation of refugees from border areas to the Maban refugee camp, where more than 160 Sudanese refugees are already residing. The Sudan Armed Forces and the paramilitary rapid support forces have been fighting for 4 weeks despite several ceasefires and the political engagement of South Sudan President Salva Kiir and other regional leaders in efforts to end the fighting. Hundreds of people have been killed, thousands wounded, and hundreds of thousands have fled the country to neighboring countries, including South Sudan, since the fighting erupted. For VOA News, I am Deng Gai Deng in Bor.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, we hear more about people who have been forcibly displaced by the violence in Sudan. Stay tuned.
Questions. The question today:
is wealth an important factor when making marriage decisions?
Wealth is not an important factor when making marriage decisions because most wealth is best acquired when you're together as a couple.
Of course, I think that any decision that involves another person, it's only fair to include wealth as an important thing. Like, I can live on almost no money, but I couldn't expect my wife or my children to.
Not wealth, but security, financial security. Because if you're planning to have kids, then you need to provide for them.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
If you are in Sudan witnessing events taking place there, or if you have family you are talking to there, you can call us on WhatsApp and let us know how things are going there. Dial the international code +1, then 202-258-3076. The number again, the international code +1, then 202-258-3076.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. The International Organization for Migration reports the number of people forcibly displaced by fighting in Sudan has more than doubled in just 1 week. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
Last Tuesday, the number of people who had been forcibly displaced by the fighting, which broke out on April 15th, stood at 340,000. Data collected by the UN Migration Agency, or IOM, showed that figure has more than doubled to over 700,000. This number is on top of the estimated 3.7 million people who had been forcibly displaced in the country prior to the fighting, which erupted between the Sudanese armed forces and paramilitary rapid support forces just over 3 weeks ago. IOM spokesman Paul Dillon says people have been fleeing to multiple areas in search of safety. He says they have gone to places that already harbored many displaced, including the White Nile, River Nile, Northern State, Al Jazeera State, as well as the capital Khartoum, where clashes are ongoing.
Decisions that people are making to move are influenced by so many different factors, events on the battlefield and the extent to which conflict is encroaching upon their communities are one. But of course, it's very difficult right now to find money. The ATMs aren't working. The banking system is not functioning. Fuel is difficult to come by and expensive.
He says the cost of interstate transport reportedly is increasing dramatically. He says it is difficult to know how this will play out and where people are likely to go in the hopes of finding aid and protection from the violence.
Many IDPs are sheltering with relatives, while others are gathering in schools, mosques, and public buildings, scenes that we see repeatedly over and over again around the world. The IOM has stock of non-food items in 6 warehouses around the country, but to date we have been unable to deliver to those in need.
Dillon warns this doleful situation is likely to persist for as long as the prevailing conditions of insecurity persist. He says the fighting must end. He says the warring parties must make it possible for humanitarians to resume their life-saving work before this untenable situation spirals out of control. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Top officials from the United States and Saudi Arabia are involved in the push for a ceasefire in Sudan through a U.S.-Saudi initiative. However, some former U.S. diplomats doubt there will be a permanent ceasefire or an end soon to the war between Sudan's army and its paramilitary rapid support forces. VOA senior analyst Mohammed Shinawi has more.
So far, there are no reports of significant progress in the talks in Jeddah, which began Saturday despite the involvement of Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman and U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan. In a joint statement, the United States and Saudi Arabia urged both parties to consider the interests of the Sudanese nation and its people and actively engage in the talks toward a ceasefire and end to the conflict. Hundreds of civilians have died in more than 3 weeks of fighting, and hundreds of thousands have fled their homes, and the United Nations warns of a massive humanitarian crisis. Sudan's military ruler, General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, Iran has said the talks with the paramilitary rapid support forces will have no benefit without a ceasefire. General Mohammad Hamdan Dagalo, who leads the RSF, said the group appreciates all efforts to establish a ceasefire and provide the Sudanese people with aid. Ambassador Donald Booth, former U.S. Special Envoy to Sudan, spoke to VOA's Carol Castile on the program Encounter about possible approaches for mediation.
There's two ways you can go about this. You can try to get everybody beforehand to say, let's all get behind one proposed mediator and then kind of tell the Sudanese they have to work with that. Or we can say, here, everybody is out there offering mediation. Let the Sudanese decide who they will actually sit down with and then get behind that.
Ambassador Tibor Nagy, former U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs, agrees with the concept. He notes, however, that Sudan is a crossroad between the Middle East and Africa, so neighboring countries have their own interests in Sudan. On VOA's Encounter program, Nagy said, while there are many forces at work, the international community has to be united with the same message to the two warring sides.
The world needs to show some unity. Who is going to engage with them? Who is going to send the message? It has to be the same message. And at the end of the day, no matter how many international initiatives there are, the two protagonists have to be willing to stop fighting.
Nagy does not expect a speedy end to the Sudanese conflict as long as the two generals have their hands on weapons and are getting tremendous pressure from their own constituencies based on their economic interests. But Ambassador Booth warns if the war continues, neighboring countries will be concerned that instability could spill over and create an entrenched ethnic-based civil war.
I think everybody's interest in stability is what we need to build on, and which I believe the United States is working on right now, which is trying to bring the various components together. And there, I think it's the Gulf states and Egypt, and the United States can really play that facilitative role. And I think what I've seen is we are trying to do that. And we put a lot of high-level attention into that, and I hope that will continue.
The fighting began when Al-Burhan and Dagalo disputed plans to create a transitional government leading to civilian rule. Some regional analysts say to end the conflict, the two generals should not be part of the solution and must exit the political scene. But the two U.S. diplomats say, for now, both generals have to be part of the solution until Sudan finds a leader able to gradually bring the country towards democracy, reducing the power of the military after decades of its involvement in politics and economy. For VOA, Mohammed Al-Shinawi, Washington.
From Washington, we move back to South Sudan, where Jonglei state officials say local youth in Duke County have detained more than a dozen government officials, including ministers and members of the state parliament. The state police commissioner says officers have not been able to rescue the officials, but are negotiating with the youth leaders to free them. Deng Aideng has the details for VOA from Bor.
Jonglei State Cabinet Affairs Minister John Samuel Manyuan says the 14-member government delegation was visiting Gadiang area in Duke County to assess a road construction project 4 days ago when the youth detained them.
They safely arrived Gadiang, and on Friday, they happened to have issues with youth. There were youth that were voluntarily mobilized to come and protect the road. Because if you can remember the incident of ARC where bulldozers were burned down. So this youth happens to have some demands. They say they need some money, which they were promised to be paid. And that's an abnormal amount. So they say they will not allow the team to travel back to the state until when this money is delivered to them.
Manuel says state officials are worried about the safety of their detained colleagues and trying to convince youth leaders to release the officials.
This is a big concern because this endangers the life of our constitution post holders, the leaders, and the state is trying its level best on how this can be addressed.
Jonglei State Police Commissioner Major General Ilia Costa says police are unable to free the 14 officials.
There is a youth there who are working on that, guarding the companies which are working there. We heard that they said they need money from the government the delegation must bring that money. The delegation has four days in that area. No force send it there, but I think the negotiation is going on between the youth and those people.
Du County Youth Leader White Mayan says the officials are being detained because the state violated a contract it signed with the youth to provide security along the highway and around Gadiang. Mayan says the local youth and the state government entered a contract a few months ago to pay each youth 180,000 South Sudanese pounds per month.
They started to give each person 20,000 South Sudanese pounds, which was not what we agreed. It's not fair completely because the youth have spent several months risking their lives in the bush. Unless the government pays 180,000 SSP to each person like it was agreed, the ministers will not be released or go anywhere.
Mayan says the youth have incurred several losses, including one of their leaders who was killed in the process of providing security in the area. He says the youth are demanding a total of 119 million South Sudanese pounds, or the officials will not go free. For VOA News, I am Deng Gai Deng in Bor.
Still alive record.
And that's all we prepared for you this Tuesday. We now leave you with the song Binia Juba by Kuzo's Clan.
Binia Juba, Binia Hilwa, Halatu, Binia Tai, Binia Tama, Hilwa Tai, Binia Tama, Binia Juba,
Binia Tami, Wapadaru Zehimo,
Binia Juba,
Binia Tami,
Anabi Hilwa Kyabi.
She goes out and not every weekend. I like that, believe me, and she's mine. Binia Juba, always you don't mind. In my bed, you feel down, Zewala la kumsa. And I'm out of your bed, lay you my lacquer. Real black, real skin, she gave me flavor. I like her, Binia Juba, oh, she like her. Like her. It's my like a Sudan, I like her. He'll water many men, what about that? Muff if you beg not, can in that soul now, call 004, yeah.
Binia Jami, Wapadaru Zehimo.
Binia Juba,
Binia Jami,
and I believe of your bed.
Wapadaru Zehimo.
Binia Juba,
Binia Jami,
it is my life,
Wapadaru Zehimo.
Binia Juba,
Binia Jami,
Nagul me Sudan.
Tamana lefo dunya ana mashota binia hilwaze
binia tupa
zamana na rija fitupa ana shota bamba kulo hilwa
hilwa
oya rabi ana basad nas hilwa.
We've been listening to Kuzo's Clan and the song Binia Juba. I'm your host, Nabil Biagio, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. Don't forget to visit voaafrica.com for all your favorite programs and news updates. If you miss this program, go to www.voaafrica.com/South Sudan. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and engineer, Neshwan Kali, we thank you for taking the time to be with us. Remember to join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Binia Juba,
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 the hip hop. Oh, mama.